from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, it sure is. And that's James. I'm Kyle. Phone lines are open today. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, we've got plenty of NBA playoff stuff to get into. Maybe a little baseball, maybe a little NFL. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Kyle.
A happy hump day to you.
It is hump day, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's Wednesday. It's actually Wednesday.
This is a big day.
It is?
What is
Why?
Well, it's a big day for me and my family because my oldest turns 21 today.
Wow. That's
shout out to Toby. Happy birthday, Toby.
Air horns for Toby.
He can now officially go down to the grocery store and buy liquor for me so I don't have to go all the time.
That was when I got my license. That was my parents' thing was, oh, good. You can be our DD now.
That's right.
The first 10 dinners my parents took me to, you know, because I'm 16, I'm still living at home. First 10 dinners we went out to, they did I'm going to have a margarita. You're driving.
That's right.
So, luckily, they've returned the favor now. So, shout out to Toby and a very happy 21st birthday to him, your oldest.
That's right.
Outstanding. Okay, speaking of driving, before we get into NBA playoff stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I have some pet peeves when driving. I think everybody does, and sometimes they're the same for people. Sometimes they're different. And this pet peeve for me is one that I understand, because I think it's born out of being in a different place or a new place or an unfamiliar place, and not knowing exactly where you're going. That's why I don't mind if somebody's driving slow, particularly like on the freeway. You're just, hey, you know what? You're uncomfortable on the freeway. I have a means of going around you. I'm not going to be mad because you're doing 65 on I-5. Like, sometimes people panic when they're on the road. They're just trying to get to their destination. I'm not going to be mad about it. Or maybe, you know, there's exits coming up. You're not sure if you're supposed to be in that lane. So you're kind of slowing down and trying to make sure. Okay, that's fine too. I had this happen multiple times today, both on 160, which I drive up from the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Roseville on Eureka, once I got off 80. And it is the not quite sure which turn to take, but in the far right lane. And, oh, I need to get over to the left lane. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut somebody off in the middle lane and then stop and wait for traffic to go by so I can get into the left lane. Dude.
No.
Hey, if you're going to miss your turn, chances are you have GPS. Almost everybody's phone has it now.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are you have GPS. Just keep going. Your GPS will flip you around.
It'll tell you how to get there.
You can get there more safely than whatever you're doing. Because on Eureka, and I'm pulling up about 7:30, so people are moving. Like, it's a lot of people coming down that road, and you're stopping, you're cutting someone off and then slamming on your brakes?
Mm.
I had that happen twice to me this morning, and it just really, like I said, I understand if you're driving and you're not familiar with the area and you're like, oh, it's my turn, you're going to panic. I do the same thing, but also understand that you don't need to do, your GPS will guide you, or you can pull off if you've not punched it into the GPS.
And find your way there, yeah.
Find your way.
Mm.
Or if you don't have GPS, you can use your brain and go, okay, my turn was back there. I need to get up here. I need to find a spot I can safely U-turn, and then I'll hang a right instead of a left. Like, it's not rocket science.
I think for some reason, Kyle, on Eureka specifically, mm-hmm. there are a lot of really poor drivers. Because what I see all the time is someone will, like, decide, oh, no, I need to take a left-hand turn here, but the left-hand turn lane's full. And so they'll just get in the lane next to it, which is got a green light and everybody's flying,
mm-hmm.
and just sit there with their blinker on.
Oh, my God.
Like, no, bro, that's not okay. That's not okay. Because all
that's
of us have to,
bad.
We got to put on our blinker and get around you. And now we're putting ourselves,
right.
And someone could rear end us because of you. Yeah. Right. Like, there's too many variables here. And I sit there and panic and just lay on the horn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it go straight? You can flip around. There'll be a U-turn opportunity. It's up there.
I don't want to make people drive faster than they want to drive. I just, for me, it's like, if you don't want to drive fast enough, then get out of the fast lane.
Yeah.
Like, that's for me. It's like, look, I don't need you to drive faster. I just need you to get out of the way.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And I try, I'm sometimes guilty of that, especially on I-5.
Yeah.
Because I set it at like 72. I have a lot of miles. I'm not trying to.
Yeah, I drive a rocket ship. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about gas in your car. I do.
Yeah.
So I try not to, you know, floor it when. And you're on I-5 and you just got cruise control on. You got music going. And all of a sudden somebody flies past me on the right. I'm like, oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Forgot I got to get over. But no, I don't want to add. I'm not advocating people drive faster.
Yeah.
I don't give a darn. I don't give a gosh darn. All right. How fast you're driving. Drive whatever speed makes you comfortable. Unless you're driving too fast. Don't drive too fast. That's dangerous. If you like to take it slower, though, I don't care. Stopping in the middle of a busy road to try and get to a left turn lane that you can easily get to by going up and flipping around and hanging a right instead. The much safer option. It's not that you're stopped. It's not that you don't know where you're going. That's fine. I get lost all the time. Mm-hmm. I make wrong turns all the time. It's fine.
Kyle's not judging you.
No, I'm not. It's the stopping in the middle of the freaking road, dude. Or when someone needs to make like a right-hand turn, and so they put their blinker on and come to a full stop before turning into that road. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Sometimes if it's a tight turn, you do. But a lot of times it's like, no, hey, you can just roll into the, it's green. The light's green. You can just roll
into 70, it. Pull the e-brake, slide sideways, get in, take your right turn, get out of my way. Get out of my way. Go ahead and drift right into that right-hand turn. Yeah. I get it, Kyle. I get it.
I'm a very, typically, when it comes to other people, I'm a very calm person, a very patient, like, understanding person. Because I try to be empathetic. I try and put myself in that person's shoes and, like, how would I feel? And again, you're lost in the middle of Roseville. Maybe you're not from Roseville. You're here on business and you're like, I don't know where to go. I'm late. I'm running late. I got to get there. I get the panic. But again, you also, it's okay. I'm just trying to put the PSA out there. Don't panic. You can just keep going. You don't have to stop. And there's means to get where you need to go. That's all.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm working right now with my 16-year-old who's learning how to drive. Mm-hmm. He's been going through driver's training. And my first thought, like, I get in the car with him and I'm like, oh, this is rough. Like, this is not fun.
Yeah.
I would never, ever, ever, ever want to be the driver's training person. Because nowadays, you know what they do? Like, you can't get your permit until you take your first driver's training. Your permit,
right,
you have
right.
your permit, but it's mm-hmm. not official until you take your first driver's training
Correct.
Class. That means that in theory, you're getting a kid who's never been behind the wheel at all, and then they take you out, and like it's no holds barred. Like you have a brake pedal on your side. That's not enough,
dude. Yeah,
I need a steering wheel.
Yeah,
I need a brake pedal. I need a gas pedal so I can moderate. Hey, bro, you're driving 25 on a 65 mile an hour freeway. No, yeah. My son comes back second time. He's like, oh yeah, he took me on the freeway. I like did on ramps and off ramps four times. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that with you. That's
dude,
not happening.
You have to. That's the gig.
Yeah,
that's the
I guess.
Gig.
Down the road. Down the road. We'll let him get three.
Literally down the road.
Four. We'll let him get like four like driver's training sessions in before I try that. Like, no.
You know where new drivers should never go in this city? We'll talk about sports, I promise.
or not.
Is 50, taking 50 west, like down by Sac State.
Oh, okay.
Down past like Bradshaw and Mather and all that area. Getting down through 50 there, up toward West Sac, up toward the like 5 interchange or on ramps to 5 north and south there. I would never take a person there who has not been driving for a decade.
Yeah.
That is an awful stretch of road.
It's chaos.
It gets been chaos even before they put in all the construction. And hopefully it's easier once all that construction's done.
It won't be.
But they had that part of a while back before they started the construction, everybody will know what I'm talking about, where it merges from 80, and then there's just lanes all over the place, and you're changing lanes without knowing that you're changing lanes. Mm-hmm. And then there's like 3 lanes that are one lane, and nobody's quite sure exactly who's merging where. Oh. And now you get the road that splits and there's a divider, and God forbid you need to get over.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's chaos.
I hate it so much. I hate it.
Oh, Kyle, we just went right through our first section, segment.
Nah, it's okay. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
This is Big E from Woodland.
Big E, what'd you want to say, bro?
I did want to talk sports, but after hearing the early on segment, I just, what is it with drivers in SAC? I'm in the far right lane going down Mack Road in South SAC, and I go 5-10 miles over the speed limit, I'll admit, and this guy must be going 20 miles over the limit to cut me off and then brake to get into the parking lot when there's no one behind me. Like, I don't get that.
Bro, that is infuriating. Thanks for the call. We will talk sports, I promise. So appreciate you for tapping in. Man, that is the worst. Thanks, Big E, for the call. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. It's the Farmer's Dog Talk line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. That's the worst. The cut me off to slam on your brakes.
Oh, yeah.
To get... No. That is where you... Again, drive past and enter where you need to go a different way.
Yeah.
Or if you look up and there's nobody behind you and you can stop and throw your blinker on, go for it. But man, if there's people behind you, don't. Oh, that's oof. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. Anyways.
Kyle, we have basketball to talk about.
Yeah, we sure do. We'll do that next. I promise. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs. We had a couple of playoff games last night. 2 blowouts. I guess the OKC game was a little better game than Boston and Cleveland, but not much. The Stars did not come out for Dallas.
No.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Boston and their place in the NBA hierarchy after they throttled the Cavaliers last night. Howard Beck, friend of the program, not going to join the show, but he did write a piece in The Ringer that both you and I had a couple of different takeaways from in regards to. He wrote it about Luka Doncic. And how Luka Doncic is so individually brilliant, but how that doesn't always translate to winning and team success. So we're going to talk, we're going to dive deep on that because it's just kind of a fascinating thing. So we will do that. I promise we're not going to talk about driving the entire show, but if you do want to tap in about driving, please do. I'm always here to hear people's complaints about other drivers on the road. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you until noon. Right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. NBA playoff talk coming up.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we're back. Everything's fine.
Got to catch your breath. Need me to take over for a minute?
No, I got to the printer and our stuff was not printed yet.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just stand there and wait.
Oh, no.
Yeah, plenty of time. The printer's right around the corner.
Yeah.
I had 40 seconds when I left. It's like, I got time to get down to the printer. I'll grab the thing. And I just stand there and wait. So I had to actually hustle back. So, man.
You're not wheezing. You're doing all right.
No, I'm good. I'm fine. 916-909-1320-916-909-1320 if you want to join the program. NBA playoffs last night, round two, game one. Boston hosted the Cavaliers, and I thought going into last night, I guess I said it on the show, if Boston is down at halftime or struggling at halftime, I'm going to feel differently about this series. That they came out and took care of business against Cleveland the way they did against in the last three games against Miami, which is left no doubt. Just we're the better team. We have the weapons to stop your one offensive option. We have the defensive weapons to stop your one offensive option. This series is done. I thought they, for the most part, did that last night. They win 120-95. The question I have is, am I overselling the fact that the Celtics are dominating their series so far? Again, there's a long way to go. This is game one against Cleveland, but my suspicion is they're going to continue dominating these games in this way. Is this me confirming my biases, going, oh, look, they're dominating series, they should be dominating, they're obviously going to continue rolling onto the finals, or am I overselling it because they're playing bad teams?
Okay, so I think it's even more than that. First of all, they are playing a team that's not very good and who's missing their star-ish center. I mean, you'd be surprised how effective Jared Allen is.
He's a really good player.
What the advanced statistics say about him. But I'd also point out that, like, what I was watching last night, especially in the third quarter, was Donovan Mitchell just run out of gas. Mm-hmm. Like, you're watching him. There's one point where he slams into somebody in the post, and he, you know, it takes a little bit to get up, and then you can see him laboring for like a good 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
One of those teams just had a 5-day break, and one of them played 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it looked like. It looked like one team is so well rested, and that's what you get when you sweep a series. The other team is dog tired and might not have enough to pick up a game early or even late in this series. This could easily be a sweep, and especially if Allen doesn't come back, I think it will probably be a sweep.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it's anything other than that. The way you mentioned Donovan Mitchell last night. Donovan Mitchell's usage rate is 36.2 in these playoffs in eight games. That means 36% of their possessions on estimate, and with that player taking a shot, or I believe it's assisting or taking the shot, at 36.2% is crazy high. But that's what the Cavs need if they're going to win these games. And they don't have any other pitch. That's their one option. And that's why I don't look at... You look at Miami last year when they beat Boston. I think that was Boston sleepwalking a little bit because it was like, oh, it's an eight seed. But man, it was Jimmy Butler and Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. And there's just all these guys who get to Bam Adebayo who just, man, any one of those guys can get hot for a stretch and keep them in the game or pull away in this game. With Cleveland, they don't have those options.
Yeah, I'm wondering the whole time when I'm watching them is just like, what happened to Darius Garland? Why is he not?
Man.
Why is he not an impact player in this series?
Darius Garland has made an all-star team in his career.
Yeah, and I mean, he hasn't been good throughout the playoffs, but I mean, he had a couple of 20-point games, but more often than not, it's a 14, 15-point games that he's had, and this has not been a good playoff run for him, and so I'm kind of left with like, hey, you're supposed to be 1B, like, and you're not holding up your end at all. And part of it is, you know, I think he's just not taking the shots. You know, for the playoffs, he's averaging 13 shots per game.
It's down from 15 in the regular season.
Yeah, and when the playoffs hit, that's when you see players elevate their game. You talked about, you know, Donovan Mitchell is up to like almost 30 shots a game. It's out of necessity. It's not. I don't feel like he's being a ball hog. I feel like he's sitting there like, hey, no one else has come to play, and I got to go.
Donovan Mitchell's at 23 shots a game, but he's averaging 29 points. He's at 23 shots a game after averaging 19.8 in the regular season.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing over his last few, his last three games, 36, 27, 25.
Oof.
And that's just not a way. I know that it when it comes to NBA conversations, we so are like, this guy, how much help does this guy need? Like, everybody needs help, man.
Yeah.
Titles aren't what you need, at least some kind of secondary and tertiary offensive option to win. That's just bottom line. And the Cavs don't have it.
No.
And you look down their bench and you look down their starting lineup, and God bless Jared Allen. I think he could have an impact on the series for sure. But inserting Jared Allen, are you suddenly like, oh, hey, now the Cavs have a shot?
No.
Jared Allen's just not that level of player. He's very good. I don't want to disparage the guy, but we're talking about, hey, who's taking some of this workload off of Donovan Mitchell? And it's not Jared Allen. And
no.
And the Celtics can throw Derek White at him and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum
Drew Holiday.
They could throw a different defender on him every quarter, and you just got fresh legs.
Yep.
Against, like you said, this guy who just played seven games of 36 shots, 27 shots, 25. He scored 89 points in back-to-back games.
That's crazy.
He's just doing everything.
But you're watching, if you're also looking at Garland as like the other guy,
mm-hmm.
like in the first series and the first game of this series, he has two total games with a plus in the plus-minus category.
Brutal.
He's also got a negative 22, a negative 27, and now a negative 19. Like, he just hasn't come to play, and that's just, it's really tough. Like, the playoffs are the ultimate proving ground,
mm-hmm.
and it's why I think a lot of people around Sacramento have such a, have a higher regard for De'Aaron Fox
mm-hmm.
than they did before, because you saw him in the playoff series against Golden State, and you're like, oh my goodness. And then I think it's also why some people have a lower opinion of Domantas Sabonis,
because he
had like two or three games where he struggled,
mm-hmm.
right? He also had a bunch of good games. Mm-hmm. And even in the play-in this year, he had some really good games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really tough, though, once you get a label as somebody who's not great in the playoffs, to shake it, and you need a long run to like show people, hey, look, mm-hmm. I can do this.
Yeah.
And for me, like, Garland hasn't stepped up into that second role, and it really just makes things awkward for Donovan Mitchell.
The thing that's tough for me with Garland specifically, because I like Darius Garland a lot as a player, and the thing that's tough watching him in these series is he doesn't look confident at all.
Mm.
It's not like he's attacking, you know what, the shots just aren't falling, but hey, give him another couple of games and he's going to get hot at some point. Like, no, he just looks like he's not ready.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't have the juice.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
he's a good player. I like him a lot.
I'll tell you what, though, this playoff series right here, and even the last playoff series, I think it will be the defining moment that tells you whether or not Donovan has any interest at all in signing an extension. And I'm gonna pretty much say I don't think he does, because he knows how far away they are. And like, hey, Evan Mobley's perfectly nice player, but he just doesn't have it. He just doesn't have the fastball.
I don't think he's a dog.
No, and I think that's going to be a problem. Again, you got Allen, who just can't step up and play, unfortunately, because of injury. But again, that's part of it. Like, hey, I need you out here, and then you have all of these other situations. Hey,
oh yeah,
looks like we got ourselves.
Wait,
a banner.
Is she going to come in here? Yeah, Jackie, come in here real quick.
Oh,
our Jackie from promotions is showing us this poster outside the window. That's super sick. Can you see it? That's awesome. What are we going to use this for?
Anywhere and everywhere.
Anywhere and everywhere. Excellent. So come out to our events and you'll see that very sign.
That's
hanging up.
Right.
Thanks, Jackie. Appreciate you. Our promotion staff is the very best.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. I just, with Donovan Mitchell, that's the kind of player that, again, I like Donovan Mitchell so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're him, you have to have that. Remember, we talk about this with Paul George a lot. Paul George had that come to Jesus moment a couple years ago, or however long ago. He talked about this on his podcast. Like, I'm not a 1A. I can be a 1B. You know, or 1A doesn't have it that night. I can step up. You know, in a 7-game series, I can step up in a couple. But really, there needs to be a person better than me as the guy on a night-in, night-out basis if I want to be on a title team. I think Donovan Mitchell needs to have that conversation with himself right now. He turns 28 in September.
he definitely has to have to have the conversation that he can't be on a team that he's the only one.
Exactly.
Like, there's something about being a 1A. Like, could he be a 1A on a really, really good team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they won a bunch of regular season games, too. Like, I don't want to say that they weren't a good team this year, but, like, what would he look like alongside De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's like, well, whatever. Like, he's not going to get traded to the Sacramento Kings, but he has to look at it. Like, what would I look like playing alongside my buddy? And and like, how good could we be?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the moment that, again, like Kevin Durant had years ago. It's like, look, me and Russell Westbrook we're great, but this can't be it. It can't be all on us all the time. And for him, he's sitting there like, it can't just be me or bust.
Mm-hmm.
Me or we lose by 30.
Yeah.
And me and we lose by 25.
Sure.
And that's not fun when you're like, okay,
sounds
look,
awful.
Man, everyone, I'm sitting here fighting. I'm exhausted. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And it's tough.
And you're running into the best team in the Eastern Conference who's going to be around, and you're just realizing your ceiling. And you're looking at the Magic and going, dang, you know what? The Magic probably should have beat us, and they're ascending. And man, you look at the Knicks, I don't think we'd have anything for the Knicks. And you start to do some calculus, and I think you made a good point there, and we have to break, but I don't want to... I think Donovan Mitchell can be a 1A. I think he needs to look around and go, hey, I need a really, really good 1B next to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's where things could get really interesting this offseason, because I think the Cavs very badly wanted it to be Darius Garland, and maybe it was in the regular season. I'm going to revisit my buddy who covers the Cavs. I'm going to reach out to him now and say, hey, now that you've seen 8 playoff games of this, do you think the team and Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland all still feel that way?
There was one moment that said it all to me. I'll be really quick. At the end of the third quarter, Donovan Mitchell took an ill-advised three, trying to get a three up before the shot clock, before the quarter ended. Celtics got the ball back. Mitchell missed. Celtics got the ball back. They're like eighth guy. Peyton Pritchard buries a 35-footer. Game over.
Yep. That's it. That's the difference. Peyton Pritchard would be Cleveland's like third best guy.
Might be at this point.
All right. We'll continue talking about the NBA playoffs. The Dallas Mavericks got blown out last night, and that's kind of where our big conversation is going to center around today. How good is Luka Doncic? Really? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen here, James Hamm there. You listening. Shout out to everybody listening on the radio, maybe the free Odyssey app, maybe you're tapped in on YouTube or Twitch. We appreciate everybody who's hanging out with us. We're rocking with you until noon, then D'Lo and KC will take over and hang out with you until 4 right here on Sacramento's Sports Leader. 916-909-1320 if you want to join the show. That's 916-909-1320. That is the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. Dallas and Oklahoma City was a really interesting game yesterday. 117-95 the final. Big takeaway number one for me, I'm just in. Oklahoma City's here, man. They were better in round one than I thought they would be, and maybe I'm bamboozled. Maybe Dallas wins the next four. But Oklahoma City very much looked like the team that is locked in and playing at a high level on both ends of the floor last night. And Dallas looked like the team that was deer in headlights. This is the biggest moment of the year, and they didn't quite know how to handle it, because the way OKC pulled away late in that game I thought was super impressive.
Yeah, I think OKC just, they look like a team that is almost more mature than you think they are.
Yes.
Like a team that you're surprised at every step by them, that they're showing like a level of maturity that I didn't think they had. Now, that's not to say that we're going to see that carry through the seven-game series. I want to see it play out. But I think Minnesota also, and their game one showed, and the game two, showed that their maturity level is higher than we thought it was. And that's where you start to, like, I think the whole entire playoff picture can be turned upside down, like, very quickly. I now can envision a Western Conference Finals with Minnesota and OKC.
Yeah, and that was not the case.
Oh, it wasn't the case last week.
It was impossible. Like,
no,
Denver's going to roll through Minnesota. Maybe it takes them six, but they're going to beat Minnesota, and they're just going to roll through to the finals. This is the first time all year I've felt like, oh, Denver is not the best team in the West. And I don't, they're definitely not, maybe the Timberwolves are just a bad matchup for them. But when you're talking about teams and playing good basketball right now, Oklahoma City is right there with Minnesota for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, like, you brought something up here too that I think it's like super important, that like, how does OKC move forward here, right?
Dude.
Like OKC is in this weird position where they still have so much draft capital, and they can't just select these guys.
Yeah.
They already have too many players that are good players. And what they've been able to do is draft a bunch of first round picks and then weed through and see who works out and who doesn't, and move off of those guys pretty quickly and bring in another group every year. And you're like, okay, this process is different than anything I think we've seen before, where they just kept continuously using their cap space to absorb bad contracts and draft capital again and again and again. And then, because they have a great general manager who knows how to find talent, they end up, you know, building all of this young core that is so impressive. And your thought was, well, you know, are they going to go chase somebody?
Dude, that is my biggest fear.
I totally get it. You know what? Like, if I'm them, I start using my draft capital, not this year, because this isn't a great draft, but I start using it to accumulate higher draft capital so I can go after much higher end players.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to, like, if I'm looking at next year's draft and there's a player that, again, a point guard that could be your long-term answer, and you've got, like, again, 12 draft picks, mm-hmm. I might trade 6 draft picks for the number one pick in the draft if that player is there, or wait until the next year.
Why not?
And just trade all that capital and then build the team, continue the organic build that they're doing where you can afford to pay your players as long as you're reasonable and you're not doing anything silly.
Right.
But also, like, there's no reason to upset the balance of what you're doing. Like, keep it together.
I don't think Sam Presti would do that. Because I think they're looking at this and going, hey, we're going to have trouble keeping all these guys. They're not going to go throw a big contract into the mix.
Well, they could. I mean, we talked about Donovan Mitchell just a minute ago. What if Donovan Mitchell says, hey, I want out? And would you blame them for raising their hand saying, we'll take him?
Kinda. Depending on what you're giving up, I wouldn't screw with this, man.
I wouldn't either.
Unless Sam Presti is like Donovan Mitchell, and again, these teams know their rosters way better than we do, but maybe Sam Presti looks and goes, hey, Donovan Mitchell is the piece we need for this thing to hit its ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And in which case, okay, maybe you try and work out that deal. But just like we talked about with the Knicks and all those reports that they're going to pursue Devin Booker, we see time and time again that organically growing your team and letting players play together over several years is such a better way to build a contender than, hey, we have some good players. Yeah, hey, we might have maxed out this very specific version of the roster. Let's blow it up. And let's get a star in here, and then we'll pick up where... Because, no, now you got to go back to square one. And maybe the star helps you accelerate things, but now you have a new ceiling. And you watch Oklahoma City, and you realize that all of them are like 24 and younger. And you're going, dude, you have a 7, 8, 9 year window here potentially.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
Where you're just getting started and you're up 1-0 in the conference semifinals. You can go to a conference final, just picking up experience left and right, just vacuuming up experience. I don't know why you would mess with that. I think that would be if you're a Kings fan, you should be open for it. Like, yeah, hey, here's this team that might just be hanging out at the top of the West for the next 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, topple that.
No,
because I think that's exactly what would happen.
See, and that's where the weird thing is about where the Kings are, is that they have to find a way to get back into that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy to do. That's a big swing.
No doubt.
Like, I'm not sure that, like, in order to get into the upper echelon, and we see who the upper echelon is, it's really 3 teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's Denver, who should be good for another 4 to 5 years,
mm-hmm.
but it's Minnesota, who should be good for another 4 to 5 years, and then OKC.
And this is just in the West.
That's got like 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you're facing Boston, who's got like another 5-year window, maybe a little bit less because mm-hmm. some of their other pieces, but they're always going to have the mm-hmm. 2 studs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it really puts it in a weird situation where you're almost like, you have to hit a button at some point that says, we're all in. We're all in on this, and this is what we're going to do to try to compete.
And here's the other thing that might accelerate that is right now, today, the Kings are in a higher tier than a team like Utah or San Antonio or Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But those are teams that Houston loves where they're at right now.
Yeah.
And they're looking at their roster and going, hey, we're going to need to take a swing at some point. It may not be next year. They're on a little bit different timeline than Sacramento. But that's another couple of teams that Sacramento is going to be competing with here. You don't think that there are stars in the NBA? It might suck in San Antonio, and maybe people don't like playing there. But you don't think there are stars in the NBA that are itching to play with Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a ton of competition. And that's why I don't want, when we talk about the Kings offseason, which, you know, we're going to kind of do throughout the summer, but that's where the urgency kicks in a little bit more. And it's not to slam the panic button. It's not to say that they need to blow it up. It didn't work this year, so obviously they need to change something. It's like, no, it's just a matter of, at some point, there's going to be a new boat coming around, and you're either going to get on that boat or you're not. And another one may not be coming.
Yeah.
And that's what the front office has paid the big bucks to try and figure out. But when we talk about big swings and we talk about trading this guy or trading that guy, it doesn't come from a place of, yeah, this guy's not good enough. It comes from a place of, and there's going to be another team ready to make this swing. And when they do it, they may be leapfrogging you.
Yeah, and you've already seen it. You've already seen teams leapfrog you. You have to figure out a way to get back into the mix. And that's, it's not an easy thing to
really
do.
Really tough.
Yeah, especially, I mean, sometimes it does come down to like, what kind of draft capital do you have? What kind of expiring contracts? Mm-hmm. What kind of, you know, what kind of young players do you have to throw in on a deal? And then you're dealing with a team like OKC who has Houston's pick this year, potential for Utah's pick this year. Next year, they've got the first round pick of the Miami Heat, Philadelphia 76ers. The next year, they have an additional pick from the Rockets or Lakers or Clippers. In 2027, they've got Denver's first round pick. They've got another Clippers potential pick. 2028, they've got Dallas's first round pick. 2029, they've got Denver's first round pick.
Jeez.
Like, it just keeps going. And the second round picks they have, they've got 30 of those as well. You're just like, what in the world? How in the world?
It is insane.
They've just amassed so much of a war chest where, hey, Danny Ainge wants to put it out there that it's going to take 5 or 6 first round picks for Lauri Markkanen. Boy, would Lauri Markkanen work with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Is that a thing that upsets the balance?
Especially because you could swing that, I bet, without giving up players.
Yeah, you might be able to.
Or at least maybe you're giving up like a Cason Wallace or something.
Yes.
But you're not giving up Jalen Williams. You're not giving up Chet Holmgren. You're not giving up Shea. Man.
Yeah, so it's crazy, right? You have Lou Dort as your specialist off the bench. He's going out there and stalking people.
The fact that Lou Dort has turned into a 40% three-point shooter isn't fair.
It's wild. It's wild. It's
ridiculous. 916-909-1320 to join the conversation. 916-909-1320. Mitch in New Jersey, what's up, pal?
Hey, Kyle, James, how you guys doing?
Good. Great.
Beautiful day over here. I went to Kings. I think he's an excited. I think they got 3 scorers. They need a big man. And I do have a couple of assets. So why can't they find a couple of guys in the second round besides their first round pick? Look at Oklahoma, who, by the way, Oklahoma has a lot of draft heads. That's the next 5 years.
Yep.
And same thing with Utah. But Oklahoma, I think they're going to make the final this year. I think Port has a lot of things on his mind. That's the only reason I can see why Denver's up down 2-0. But Oklahoma's got a lot of talent.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure do.
And one more thing?
Yeah.
They got talent. They can't draft any guy that's the last name is Williams. Because it kills me when I'm trying to listen which Williams they're talking about.
Yeah.
Because they got a couple of, one's a start. I'm sorry. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate you. Dude, no, he is spot on about the Jalen Williamses.
Well, yeah, they cannot draft another Jalen Williams, but I could see them looking for another Jalen Williams, because why not? It's worked.
They're both effective.
The previous 2 times.
Yeah.
What if you just amassed a roster of like 5 Jalen Williams? Just like...
Dude, not even basketball players, just random dudes named Jalen Williams.
What is happening here?
You're like, man, I've been a plumber for 27 years. Why are you... I can't even play basketball. J-Dub is the big man, right? Is that right?
I think
so. Or is J-Dub the wing?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Now I have to look at Basketball Reference.
Yeah, you do that.
Figure out who is who.
You do that. Anyways. Yeah, man. Oklahoma City's going to be around. I think you look at a team like... And that's... We talked about Houston. We talked about Utah a little bit. Mitch just brought up the Jazz as a team with a bunch of assets and you know, Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs are going to be lingering, although I have no idea what their plan is moving forward. But it's fine.
Okay, so
I'm a little worried about the Kings.
No, it's okay to be worried about like their place in the world.
And I just don't want
to.
I didn't want to sound like I was overreacting. And the way I was initially going to say I'm worried about the Kings made it feel like I was being overreactive. But it's just the more we talk about this, and the more we talk about like, man, all these good players and all these teams with assets, and then we kind of look at where the Kings are. It's like, man, they've got a steep hill to climb with people gaining.
Yes,
or teams gaining.
Well, that and the fact is you're not going to be in a position for a long time to either have true cap space or to be a team that has a high draft pick unless things completely go wrong, unless you have massive injuries to a couple of players and it puts you back in the top five, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you get better?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a difficult thing. And how do you push all your chips in at one point? How do you know when your team is right? How do you know? Like, you really have to be looking at each of these individual players that you might go out and chase and say, like, is that someone that can potentially be a starter on a championship mm-hmm. quality team? Can they be a player that comes in and just gives me so much more than what I have right now mm-hmm. that they can get me over the hump? And not only that, but how do I compete in a market that looks like this?
Yeah.
And that's the difficult thing. And I don't know all the answers for how they can do whatever sure. it is. I can tell you the mechanisms that they have to get mm-hmm. better and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, we just don't know who's truly available and who's not, and who's truly interested in what the Kings have and who's not. And these are all questions that, like, that Monty McNair has to be working the phones like nonstop, because yeah. you have to be realistic about who and what you are and your place in the world. And how do you get to the next mm-hmm. spot? And I think the Kings are in a position where they might be one big piece away from jumping right back into the fray with these teams.
Mm-hmm.
But as of today, they aren't in that position. I mean, clearly they didn't even make the playoffs. So,
yeah.
But they're so close. It's almost like I would rather be in their position than so many of these other teams that are around them. Because if I'm looking at like a team like the Lakers are just aging out. You're looking at the team like Golden State. They're just aging out. And these are teams that either tied or were right at where the Kings are, yeah. you know, in the standings.
Yeah.
And then you're looking, like, even if we look at a team like Houston has a bunch of intriguing talent, but they have a very small pathway to piece all of these talented yeah, players no doubt. Together. And no we doubt. Have no idea what they'll look like in 3 years. They could look brilliant like OKC, or they could look like every Kings team from like 2012 until 2019.
Sure.
Where they just have too many young players and it doesn't work, and mm-hmm. the talent that you brought in to support them isn't enough. So I think you're in a really, really, like, you're not in a bad position. Even I would look at like the Dallas Mavericks and what they're doing and how they're building, and I don't think the Kings are far off of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, do they have the highest of highest-end player? Yes. But at the same time, the Kings have better all-around talent. Like, the talent around those players, to me, has been better over the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there waiting to see how it is that the Kings can take this next step.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a young player that might be able to grow into something special. But you only have a certain amount of time to put these things together. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be panic, but you know, you put it all together in one giant bin, and you've got Mike Brown entering the final year of his contract. You've got, you know, a bunch of like guys that are on expiring contracts. Mm-hmm. You don't really have all your draft capital.
Yeah.
Like, there are enough question marks to sit here and like make you uneasy about who they are.
Yeah, the other thing, just while we're talking about uneasiness, is I like Keon Ellis as much as anybody, but we went into this season going, man, hey, you're going to get growth from this player and this player and this player and this player. And then they didn't. You saw somebody like Kevin Huerter come back to earth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see the same level of contributions up and down the roster the way we did two seasons ago.
Harrison Barnes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's another one. And so I sit there and I go, well, Keon Ellis is going to be good again. But it's like, eh, but what if he's not? What if he's not cashing threes at the rate that he did? Hey, that's just, anyways.
No. What if he doesn't hold up? There's a lot of questions there.
Negative Nancy.
Right? No. I get your negativity, but I also don't think you're being negative as much as you're being realistic.
Sure.
And so that's like, as a general manager, we talked about it yesterday. Like, if you have a 5-year plan, you have no plan at all,
mm-hmm.
right? The Jerry Reynolds line.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you have to. You can't just mortgage your entire future on an all-in move that on a 1-year contract or something. Like,
well, and that's as we go through this, and this is not to say that the Kings are in a bad place. It's just when you start to look at what's in front of them in the West and what they're kind of aspiring to, and then you look at a couple of the teams, you know, coming up from the bottom of the West, and again, not all the teams that are coming up from the bottom are going to be good. I think you're right. Maybe the Spurs never really get really good complementary pieces for Victor Wembanyama,
And or maybe it takes 5 years.
Maybe it takes a while.
Yeah, maybe their window and your window are two different windows.
Yeah, so that I could definitely say the Rockets just flaming out here in the next couple of years.
And Utah.
And Utah, same thing. So,
even Memphis. Memphis, mm-hmm. They've lost a lot of pieces. Right, who knows if it all goes back together.
It's not to say the Kings are in a bad spot. It's just as we started talking about all these things, like, man, they have a long way to go, which is where my next question comes in. And we're kind of doing this on the fly, but as we talk about this, where are you, James, as we talk about the Kings roster building? Where are you trying to get them in 2024-25? Because for me, everything I talk about when it comes to making these moves is like, hey, how do you get as close as humanly possible to those three teams that were Denver, Minnesota, Oklahoma City? Those are just going to be the three teams we're talking about. How do you get as close as possible to those teams? Or is the expectation, no, you're just trying to get up to Dallas, New Orleans, teams you're really close to already anyways, and getting back up into that 4-5, LA, the Clippers, just trying to get up into that 4-5 where you're just like, yeah, you're solidly a playoff team, and then go from there.
Yeah, if I'm the Kings and I'm looking at that, I mean, you have to swing for the fences. Like, you have to go get a big name piece that fits and is not only that, but like, I would caution fans, like, what you don't want is like the instant gratification piece, right? So like, if somehow you were able to get Paul George, mm-hmm. right? But Paul George is 33 and is already talking about like he envisions his life without basketball. I'm not sure that that's the guy that you, Paul George, what he looks like on the court versus Paul George, where he's at mentally and where he's at physically, mm-hmm. and where he's going to be in like 3 years. Like, I'm not sure that I go down that route. Same thing mm-hmm. with Jimmy Butler. Like, you go get Jimmy Butler. What do you got? Like, a year or two of Jimmy Butler being like this giant personality, and then he's just poof, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so those are the moves that I'm always leery on. It's really the move that, you know, again, we can talk about Lauri Markkanen if he ever became available. It's the Brandon Ingrams of the world that are around the same age as your stars right now and can fit in and be part of something that lasts for 5 to 6, 7 years. And you hope that, you know, you can hold it together and keep adding pieces here and there. That's kind of the move that I would look for. You got to find a guy who's 25, 26, 27, maybe mm-hmm. 28 at the oldest, that is really close to all-star level or is an all-star level player, and you got to go all in because I think that's the only way you jump back fully into the conversation.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that a tweak here and a tweak there can get you back up to the sixth seed,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure that a tweak here and a tweak there gets you back into the conversation, can get you into the conversation sure. that some of these other teams are in. And like, look, the Kings aren't the only team. Like, the Pelicans have topped out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for that matter, Dallas might top out. The difference
we'll talk about Dallas next segment. I'm so fascinated by them as a team.
Well, that and the difference is that Dallas has a 25-year-old superstar that might have more to offer in a different way.
Yeah.
And realistically, that's the difference with why I feel differently about Dallas than I do, say, New Orleans. Same, like, I wouldn't want to be the Clippers right now. Because we're talking about how do the Kings get back to the, like, okay, you're going to run it back with a bunch of aging guys against a bunch of 25-year-olds who just already
mm-hmm.
told you how good they are mm-hmm. and ran right by you and mm-hmm. jumped to the top of the league? Okay.
Regular season success seems to mean nothing, right? Like, for in the grand scheme of basketball, the Warriors won 73 games in the 2015-16 season, but it doesn't matter because they didn't win a title. Like, that's what, but I think at the same time, that's a fan sentiment. That is how fans look at things. It's like, it doesn't mean a thing without the ring. That's whereas front offices, just with the Clippers specifically, with what Matt Ishbia talked about with the Suns, front offices look and Matt Ishbia and the Suns are going, we made the playoffs. What are you talking about? We need to blow this thing up. We make a couple of tweaks, we're moving up. Steve Ballmer, he's moving into a new building. They won a bunch of regular season games. He's looking at that and going, "Yeah, that's a 50 win. That's 50 wins right there. Let's bring those three guys back. We have 50. Maybe not in the playoffs, but hey, I know we're going to win 50 games. I know we're going to put butts in seats in the regular season." And that's a little bit of the team building juxtaposition that I think is there where as a fan you're going, how do you win a title? And I think there's team owners definitely want to win titles. They definitely want to win championships, hang those banners. Like, there's A, the gratification of it, B, the financial incentive behind it. But then I think there's a lot of people that are just like, hey, how do we not become irrelevant? And that would be what I'm afraid of the Kings doing, is going, hey, how do we not become, okay, we may not win a title and we may shorten our window by 6 years, but we're going to make this all in move right now to make sure we're a four seed and we get to host a first round series. That would be a massive concern for me.
Yeah, the as far as like bringing in the older guy
who might be able to, here's this like, big name.
Yeah, the instant gratification move.
Yes.
Yeah, no, no.
I'm like, terrified.
Like,
of
that. No, don't do that.
I would oh.
No.
We,
make the move that makes sense for who of how you've been building this thing the whole time.
Yes. But I'm a sucker and a clown, so if they got Jimmy Butler or Paul George, it would take me a week max to talk myself into it.
Of course. But you'd have to do it with the understanding that it was the all-in move, and if this thing doesn't work, like, number one, people are getting fired.
Yeah.
But number two, like, it's such a small window. Like, mm-hmm. you just cracked a window, and it's not even really a window because right. These other teams have already ascended to a certain spot, and you only hope that that guy can help carry you through as opposed to playing team basketball and trying to get through as a group together. So it's a tough spot to be in, man, because you can see both angles. You can see where, like, it's easy to see where Houston could jump above you next year and Memphis could come back and be part of the fold, and all of a sudden you're on the outside looking in completely, not just a team that couldn't get past one Pelican squad and so you didn't make the playoffs. You could be a team that is now on the outside and looking at a bunch of $40, $50 million players, and you're not good enough.
Yeah. Man.
Tough.
Really tough. There's another angle to this conversation that we were supposed to get to, and then we didn't. So we'll get to this other angle of this conversation. You mentioned the Dallas Mavericks a bunch there. I want to talk about them next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.